Hey there, and welcome to our Peace Podcast number 2, brought to you by the Psychologists for Peace interest group of the Australian Psychological Society. My name's Michelle, and I'll be your host again today. Thanks for tuning in. In this episode, I wanted to tackle an issue that's been in and out of the news for years, decades actually. Today, we'll check out some research that's helping us understand the conflict in Israel and Palestine, and explore how research is helping us to build peace in the area, and right around the world. Plus, stay tuned for details on the upcoming United Nations International Human Rights Day and how you can get involved. The conflict in Israel and Palestine has been going on for decades, and unfortunately, it's showing few signs that a resolution will be reached anytime soon. The conflict's historical roots are complex and hotly contested. The one thing that is clear is that prejudices on both sides are strongly related to violence in the region and are posing a barrier to peace. Peace psychologists and many others have been on the case for years, researching how best to build empathy and peace between the Jews and Arabs living in Israel and Palestine. The research falls roughly into two types. First, some studies explore factors that influence the conflict and peace building, like people's attitudes or behaviour. Second, other studies try to determine the effects of a conflict, often to help develop assistance programs for people affected by conflict. Finally, some studies evaluate how effective particular peace building or assistance programs are, and what can be done to improve them. A great example of a study that looked at influences in the conflict in Israel and Palestine was published just a couple of months ago. Using surveys, the researchers asked Muslim and Jewish college students about a whole heap of different topics, especially how ready they feel to have a relationship of different kinds with the other group, and how ready they think the others are to reciprocate. The study was really important because instead of asking students the usual questions about how often they have contact with members of the other group, it asked about more useful things like how important people feel their inter-ethnic relations are and how willing they are to have increasingly important associations with the other group. It was a really complex study, but a few findings stick out. A big one was that both the Jewish students and the Muslim Arab students felt ready to hold meaningful relations of at least some type with members of the other group. It's also interesting that the study found that Muslim Arab students felt more ready for relations with Jewish people than they expected the Jewish people to feel towards them. But the Muslim students also reported feeling more willing to drive out Jews from the region if the opportunity ever arose. Studies like this one really help to uncover what contributes to people's attitudes towards conflict and peace in the region, so that can be harnessed and addressed in peace-building processes. But learning about the contributors to a conflict or peace isn't a lot of use to people who are being affected by the conflict in the moment, which is why the second category of studies are looking at what devastating effects that a conflict is having on people, and using that info to design programs to help people who are suffering now in the conflict. A good example of this type of study is one that compared groups of Palestinian women who had been exposed to different levels of conflict to see how they were coping, whether they felt helpless or in control of their lives, and what their main worries were in life, along with other factors such as how high their stress levels were. They compared Palestinian women who were refugees with asylum in Beirut, those who lived in a largely Palestinian regions that were occupied by Israeli troops, and those who lived in largely Israeli regions, mostly free from direct conflict. The study drew from different psychological and other theories of conflict to decide which factors to measure, and unlike a lot of studies, it used both descriptive data as well as statistical data. A lot of psychological research uses statistics, which are great for summarising people's attitudes and views into numbers that are easy to work with. Statistics have been criticised as taking the human element out of research. So to balance this, the study also used descriptive data, which consists of participants' actual personal stories, as told during interviews, their experiences of the conflict, and how they deal with the resulting psychological trauma. Unsurprisingly, the study showed that women who had fled to Beirut as refugees felt the most psychologically traumatised, followed by the Palestinian women living in the territory occupied by Israeli forces. Palestinian women living in Israel experienced the least trauma. It's really interesting, though, that the trauma in the women living in Beirut and occupied Palestine was often expressed quite differently. While the women in Beirut felt more helpless and less control over their lives than the women in Palestine, the latter group actually had a much higher rate of mental illness. This fits fairly well with what we know from previous psychological research and clearly identifies the need for psychological impacts of conflict to be addressed in these populations. Of course, it would be a whole lot better to prevent or resolve conflicts rather than simply addressing the results. So this is where the third type of research comes in. From research into factors involved in conflict and peace, and from studies identifying a need for services, heaps of programs have been developed, especially drawing from social psychology theories. Promising amongst these are the numerous peace education programs that have been developed over the years for use in Israeli and Palestinian schools and the white communities. Although these coexistence programs are far from perfect, a lot of research has recently focused on coming up with ways to improve the systems. Other studies have concentrated on devising and evaluating more restricted programs, like peace workshops that are bringing Israeli and Palestinian school students together to create inter-ethnic empathy and so promote peace. The researchers who evaluated that program had pretty positive findings, showing that the workshops really did help a lot of Jewish and Muslim Arab participants to lessen their stereotypes of the other group members and to change their behaviours. In fact, some participants were still in contact and seeing each other for shared activities at the 12-month follow-up interview. Obviously, no program and no research is perfect. Peace psychology and related fields still have a long way to go in understanding the Israel-Palestine conflict, among others, and programs to address effects of the conflict and ways to resolve it are riddled with various problems in design and execution. But what a fantastic thing that so much research is happening, and some programs are seeing results. No doubt, peace psychology will continue to provide insights into this and many other conflicts around the world, and keep contributing to effective peace programs. With this hope in mind, let's leave off from the talk of conflict now and check out some upcoming peace events. December 10th is the United Nations International Human Rights Day. This year, it's exactly 60 years since the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights was first signed by a total of 48 nations. So throughout December, there are events all around Australia organised to mark the day. On December 30th in Wollongong, Amnesty International is hosting an event of funky music in honour of the momentous signing of the declaration. Also, the Coffs Harbour City Council is hosting a public forum on human rights, and Amnesty International is constructing an elaborate display of 60 human-sized candles to remember prominent human rights activists. Or, if you don't feel like heading out, Amnesty International's Fire Up campaign might suit you. On the 10th, just light a candle as a mark of solidarity with other human rights activists around the world. Check out the text document posted alongside this podcast for link to these and more events. And this December, whether you're celebrating a religious festival or just taking advantage of the holidays to spend time with family or friends, I wish you all a very safe and happy holiday. Peace out.